it still looks modern even today, especially the architectural cubist paintings. It doesn't stop being great art just because the person has been dead for a long time.
Herzlich willkommen bei Die Sucht zu sehen, dem Griesebach-Podcast. Alle zwei Wochen sprechen wir hier mit Menschen, die etwas in der Kunst oder über sie zu sagen haben. Lionel Feininger war nicht nur ein bedeutender Maler der Moderne, er war auch erster Bauhauslehrer und Meister grafischer Techniken. In der Frankfurter Schirm ist derzeit eine große Retrospektive seiner Arbeiten zu sehen und in der kommenden Winterauktion wird eines seiner Gemälde bei Griesebach versteigert. Über seine Bedeutung und Re-Immigration in die USA unter den Nazis erzählt uns heute sein Enkel Konrad Feininger in Folge 78 von Die Sucht zu sehen. Herzlich willkommen. Dear Konrad, welcome to the Griesebach Podcast, Die Sucht zu sehen, as you may translate it, addicted to watching. Konrad, you were born in America and therefore we will do this interview in English.
Yes, thank you for that. I am a German citizen, but I still can't speak the language.
Exactly. We'll come to that later. Your name is Konrad Feininger, and in Germany, this is a very well-known name, for you are the grandson of a very famous German artist. Tell us about him. Who was he, and what was he like?
Well, I never knew him because he was born in 1871, and I was born in 1959. But he was, throughout my life, a great man, according to my father and everyone around. But I find now he is much more famous in Germany than he was in America.
So growing up, what was your connection with him? What were you told about him? And how was he discussed at home?
Quite often he was discussed, family experiences in Germany, and then the transition to the United States. Plus, the walls of the house I grew up in were decorated with his art, so I was exposed to it from childhood on.
Right. Tell us a little bit more about his work and his art. What were you surrounded with?
Both figurative paintings that evolved out of the cartoon period, and then the more crystalline architectural paintings, a wide and broad swath, and the marine watercolors. And all of this was mixed in with my father's art. So there was a deep exposure to the Bauhaus ethos and the lifestyle. My life has been about my family all along.
Right. Could you explain what made the work of your grandfather so relevant?
Well, it still looks modern even today, especially the architectural cubist paintings, the Gumroda series, the Halle series, etc. Great art is great art, and it doesn't stop being great art just because the person has been dead for a long time.
Right.
I just came back from the Schirn, and if anyone doubts that Lionel Feininger is a great artist, all they have to do is spend an afternoon in that museum until the end of January. It's a beautiful exhibition, and it explains Lionel very well.
Right. The Nazis, they declared the work of very many Bauhaus artists as and art degenerated. Many of them left Nazi Germany. So did your grandparents, Lionel and Julia, who was Jewish. Tell us a bit about what happened then. Where did they go? This was in 37, right, when they left?
They left finally in 37, but in 36 they were in California, where my grandfather was teaching a summer course at Mills College, and they could have started from there, but they went back again. The whole thing is still a shot. It's a big shame. Lionel was an American citizen and an enemy alien during the First World War, but he identified himself as German and wished to be thought that way. And of course, my grandmother was Jewish. But Germany has repaired things with me by making me a citizen based on those activities from the Nazi times, and I have to say, much more happy to be in Germany than in America.
Okay, I'll ask you about that later. How was your grandparents' life after they immigrated?
Well, it was tough. He was seen as a German artist at a time that America was coming close to being at war with Germany, and it took him a while to really come back to the level he had been in Germany when he left. lots of people did help him, and some good luck in the war years made things more comfortable. But my favorite thing to think on in the early period in America is they were often, Julia and Lionel, apart. She went to health clinics, spent time in Berlin. He spent time in Dieppe from April to October. So they were often apart and communicated by letter. But once they arrived in America, they were never apart for a day again. And that was a big change.
Yeah. Where did they live? In California, you said, right?
No, he taught once in California, but they lived in Manhattan near Greenwich Village.
Where he was from, as I remember, right? He was from New York, yeah.
Yes, he grew up in Upper Manhattan, but was a self-described New Yorker.
In what way did their life change after that? Could they be happy again? What would you say? How was this discussed in your family?
Everything had settled down by the time I could understand people speaking as a child. And Lionel had become a great man, both to the family and to the outside world. But, you know, there are constant discoveries to be made. I had no idea about his photography until 10 or 15 years ago. But, you know, at first I saw him only as a painter. Then I saw him as a graphic artist. And then I see him as a photographer. And you throw into that the model yachts, and it's a well-rounded individual.
Yeah. What influence did the immigration have on your grandfather's work? What would you say?
I enjoy very much spending time in the Master House. Even though it is reconstructed, it still feels like the home that it was. And yet, I see Lionel as a product of the 19th century, and this house still appears modern to me. I've never lived in as modern a place myself.
Tell us a bit about your life, Conrad. So you come from an artist family, and you became an artist yourself.
Well, I am an actor, which is art, but it's also a craft. It was always very easy for me. I mean, not only was it what I wanted to do, but I didn't face the struggles, say, my father did, of being compared to his father.
Yeah.
Nobody had been an actor in the family before. I was on stage in Washington, D.C. for 35 years and recorded audiobooks for the Library of Congress.
You already mentioned that, I think it was in 2022, you moved to Dessau and became a German citizen. Tell us about that decision, please.
Well, it's a love story is what it is. I met a Dessauer at the time of the opening of the Bauhaus Museum. And eventually we began a relationship. And in 2022, we married.
I see. And you decided to move to Dessau from Washington, or where were you living?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My first wife and I had ended up in Massachusetts, in the town where my family spent summers. We were there for the last 5 years of our marriage. But my second wife is a German who did not want to live in America. And I, in the Trump era, didn't want to live in America either. So I was happy to come here. And I have to say, my name opens doors that never were opened in the United States.
Really? Could you describe this a little bit for us?
Well, the easiest example is trying to get my driver's license. I needed an eye exam, and I went to four different shops and received no help. And then in the fifth shop, the man knew the name, and not only did the eye test and gave me the papers instantly, but didn't charge me. these are little tiny perks, but the family is very much respected here. And everyone I meet, certainly in art circles, is happy to have Feininger in Europe again. And I'm happy to be that representative.
Now, these days, the German news are full with reports about anti-Semitic attacks. Did you ever doubt or regret your decision to come to Germany?
No, certainly not. I find the political situation disgusting. But I was raised as a left-wing person. And my sympathies at the moment are partly with the Palestinian people, not with Hamas, but with the people who have now been treated almost as badly as the Jewish people were during the times before. But I feel no threat. My wife and I attended from the outside the opening of the new synagogue here in Dessau. It was a good occasion, although there was some protest. But I like that in this country, protest is allowed, as long as it isn't violent. In the United States, it is more and more suppressed.
Mm-hmm. You're a bit traumatized by the Trump era, I can hear.
And continue to be. And the idea that he could come to power is not maybe what we should talk about for Griesebach, but the idea that it could happen is amazing
right.
to me.
Conrad, in this podcast, we always ask the guests the same two questions in the end, including you. So the first one would be, what is your favorite museum and why?
Well, for architecture, I have to say my favorite museum is the Moritzburg in Halle. The new combined with the old is absolutely brilliant. I don't remember the name of the architect, a Spanish guy or woman. But the steel melded to the stone is amazing. In the U.S., I love the Guggenheim and always have, mainly because I used to want to ride my bike in there. a new favorite is now the Schön. I'd never been in Frankfurt or to that museum, and it's a gem, too. And in Berlin, any of the museums on Museum Island have to count as favorites. One of my favorite places to spend time.
Now, the last question is, if you could have any work of art in this world, because I would give it to you, which one would you choose?
Oh, my God. That's a really hard question.
I know.
I would say any of the Gelmerode series by my grandfather. I love every single one of them equally.
Okay. That's a nice answer. Dear Conrad, it was a pleasure to talk to you.
And to you.
Das war Folge 78 von Die Sucht zu sehen. Wir bedanken uns fürs Zuhören, freuen uns schon wieder auf unsere nächsten Gäste und natürlich auf Sie. Alle zwei Wochen neu bei griesebach.com und überall, wo es Podcasts gibt.